Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. But what's new about this? The golden rule exists in all religions, even in secularism. Love your neighbor as you would want to be loved yourself. The Old Testament said love of God and love of neighbor were one and the same commandment. What's new about what Jesus is saying here in John's Gospel? Well, a few things. The first thing is, it's not love of neighbor, but it's love of one another. In other words, love the church, build up the church, build up the body of Christ. It's not that that's exclusive of neighbor, you know, neighbor being the whole human race and all of creation, but have a particular love for one another, the ones close in, the ones in the community. Because if you can't be a strong community with each other, then you're not symbolizing, you're not sacramentalizing my love for you. Another thing is, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. It always falls a little short because we don't really love ourselves as much as we should. We're the biggest self-critics. And so, but to love one another as Jesus has loved us, with an undying love, with an unconditional kind of love, that's divine love, it's not human love. And it's not limited by the way we love ourselves, it's unlimited like God's unlimited love. Another thing about this is, it's Eucharistic. Now, in John's Gospel, this farewell discourse takes place at the very moment when the other three Gospel writers give the institution narrative, this is my body, this is my blood. But John doesn't tell that. Instead, he washes their feet. And then after Judas has left to betray him, and this is kind of telling too, because in the very context of being betrayed, and in the context of already having told Peter that he would deny him three times, Jesus is still going to the cross for them. He has every reason in a human sense to be resentful and to be plotting his revenge against them. And instead, he is going to the death for them. This is divine love. Divine love does not require anything in return. In fact, it can be rejected and is still given. This is something way beyond human love here. This is divine love. And then, after Judas has left, he gives his farewell discourse instead of the institution narrative. I'm only going to be with you for a little while longer, but I want to give you this new commandment, love one another. So it's Eucharistic in the sense that where the other three writers tell us about the institution of the Eucharist, John tells us what the Eucharist means, love one another. The content of the Eucharist is love, divine love. And he's giving them the grace, the power to do that. And again, this is not human love. And so let's not delude ourselves into thinking that we can somehow conjure this up within ourselves from our human capabilities. Or if we just had enough education, or if we just had enough determination, enough discipline, we could do this. No, this is gift. This is grace. This comes from God. And this is probably the final thing that's new here. If we don't get this from Jesus, we don't get it. One of the ways we celebrate that here in the sacramental liturgy is the priest, who in the liturgy represents Christ the head, speaking to his body. And so these dialogues are important, aren't they? The Lord be with you and with your spirit. It's Christ speaking to his body and his body responding. And so at one point in the Mass, just before communion, the priest says, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And we respond back, and with your spirit. And then we extend it to each other. We don't start with each other. We first get it from him. And then when we get sent forth into the world to transform the world into the kingdom of God, we're not going out there on our own power, but on his. By our baptism, we are sharers in his priesthood. But we don't have a priesthood of our own. We get it from him. We share in his. We don't get divine love on our own. It is given to us in Christ. And so that gives us a kind of a power and an authority to announce this to the world in a way that we wouldn't be able to otherwise. There's a deep sense of humility about this. There's no pride involved. In the same way that there's no self-concern, no pride in Jesus, there is none in us as well. Jesus, he experiences himself as having received all of this from the Father. But he's so confident in that he says, the Father and I are one. I am so filled with the Father's love that I am the Father. We are so filled with the love of Christ that we are Christ. We are his body. Not because we have usurped it, because we've grabbed it or taken it. In the same way that we never take communion, we receive it humbly and openly. We have received from Christ what we hand on to one another.